Greetings and a welcome in the name of Christ. This is wonderful to be here, and it's a wonderful sight to see men and women of God with an interest in their children. Stand with me for prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for being such a wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord, a wonderful God. We thank you that you are almighty and that you, wherever we are and man may be, you are present there. We ask for your presence this morning upon us, around us, here, be here with us, speak to our hearts, encourage our lives. Bless us, O God, this morning with the presence of your holiness, conviction, and your guidance. I pray, O God in heaven, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, bring anointing, bring the oil from heaven upon us. And help your speakers, Lord Jesus, that we would be flowers of oil today, sons of oil, that we can somehow, Lord, bring courage and strength by sharing you and knowing who you are and sharing what you have done in our hearts and lives. We pray now that you would bind wicked spirits, demons, and devils in Jesus' name and give to us peace and rest. And Lord, show yourself mighty to us. We thank you for these brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, children, little children, youth, O God, be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. This is a wonderful time to be together. My title that was given to me without too much information on where I should take this is line upon line. And I thought about doing something here and just repeating something again and again and again, maybe 40 times or 30 times, and see if you remember. And maybe that is really what the Word of God is saying. I was in Haiti, and I was sitting in a schoolroom, and the way they teach in Haiti is repetitious teaching. And so what they did is they said, like, 1 + 1 = 2, 1 + 1 = 2, 1 + 1 = 2, and the whole group, 1 + 1 = 2. And by the time they were finished, they knew that 1 + 1 = 2, but they didn't understand that 1, and you take another 1, and you put them together, and now you count them, and they're 2. So there is a line upon line. I think that's important. However, I think we need to also have some understanding. And this scripture here that was given me is taken out of Isaiah 28. And there was a people here that did not, it was God's people that did not understand, and they were not getting it. And so this is the word in Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord, verse 13, was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line upon line. Here a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The setting here is that there was a people that were not getting the point from God. And he was saying precept upon precept, line upon line. I'm going to leave that now and continue on. I have a short time here to share what God has laid in my heart, but I want to share what God has been speaking to my heart. Our goal is not teaching our children. In your home school, the goal is not teaching our children, but training them. Teaching is the vehicle we use to train. Teaching is to share information and knowledge. To have trained a child is to connect knowing with behavior. And so many of us, we need that from the Lord as well. We need to know, but we need to be able to bring that into a useful life where we actually do what God is telling us. Now, our focus this morning, I understand our focus is children. I assume that you love children. I was sitting out here in the parking lot. We were a little early, and I was sitting there and studying and praying, and I saw many people pull in, and I saw vans opening, doors opening, and children coming out, and I told my wife, oh, how precious. That's a wonderful thing, wonderful thing. In a world that where the homes are falling apart. I assume that you love children. I stood looking into a hole twice as we buried our daughters. You know, when they go not to return, oh, we love them. We weep for them. They're so precious. So precious. Let me give you just a little background. Maybe you wonder why I am here. I wonder too. But God spoke to us. We buried our only daughter at the time. We didn't have any children again. And then God gave us another daughter. And that daughter grew up. God gave us more sons. We have 6 children, 2 in heaven and 4 on earth. That daughter became very precious. We laid one down, and when the next one was born, we wondered, how will she be? But I remember the day, the first morning that she went to school, the school bus stopped, Christian Day School. School bus stopped in front, and our little innocent daughter, the one I loved so dearly and was hanging on to, at 6 years old, walked out there to the bus, and there she went. Somewhere she sat on that bus as that bus took off, went somewhere, hopefully, in our belief, to a place where she could be taught right, wrong, many things. We came home, we're coming home from a fourth. When our daughter was in the fourth grade, we had a end of the year school program, I think it was. I forget, was it that or was it a Christmas thing? And we saw what the school was turning out, and I asked my wife, honey, is that how we want our daughters to be, our daughter to be, when she graduates out of the school? We both concluded that we would want God to help us. I went on a search in the scripture to find out God's heart for teaching our children. And I'm not here to condemn anyone, or I'm just sharing my heart and my conviction. God showed me very clearly, and I'll share more later on that, that God's heart is that the father and the mother, the father and his helpmeet, would teach the children. For the next 14 years, we taught our children. Those children are now grown. 3 of them are married. 1 is working on it. And God has blessed us. And it's all God. It's not us. But I want to encourage you. I'm here this morning to encourage your heart. I see fathers and mothers. I know the stress. I know the struggle. I know what you go through. I came home many times. My wife was just almost burned out. The toys were everywhere. And she wants things nice. And I do too. But we were not trying to keep our house in order in the literal way only. We were trying to raise godly sons and godly daughters. And that was our vision, and that was our goal as God helped us. Coming back now to this, I wonder how much you love your children. How precious are your children? What is your perspective of value with your children? You know, the birth of a vision is the result of something we value. How precious are those children? How much do you love your children? Oh, we love them, but you know, sometimes they don't behave too well. There's times when that love is really stretched and really strained. When we tell them to do something and they don't do it, do we still love them? How precious are they? What is the worth of your child? You know, we have a house, I don't know how many... What your house is worth, but maybe it's worth $300,000. That's a lot of money. It has the value, if you would sell your house today, maybe it would be worth $300,000. Now let me ask you, what about your truck? Maybe your truck, $60,000 for a truck. That's a lot of value. But how much is your child worth? How much would you take if I would give you money today? I will buy one of your children. I mean the one that is giving you the most struggles. How much do you actually value your child? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you see them go down into the hole, and later, weeks later, you long to hold them again, you long to talk to them again, you want to love them and hug them again and kiss them again, you want to walk into their room and you want to look there and watch them sleep. If that doesn't break a father and a mother's heart, we need a touch from God. It's the heritage God gives. If I would give you $500,000, would you give me one of your children? What is the value? What value would you put on that child? What about $1.3 million? That's a lot of money. Is anyone here that would give me one of your children for $1.3 million? What about $5 million? You know, with $5 million, you could build a big house and never work anymore. How much do you, you know what I'm seeing is that we actually put a lot of value. There's an 8-year-old girl, I understand, somewhere in Pennsylvania that is hanging between life and death. And you know, those parents are not even questioning what it's costing to keep that child alive. Well, what about $5 million? Or what about $30 million? Would you take $30 million? Anyone here that would actually give your child for $30 million? You know what? I don't see any hand. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, you have a most precious, precious. Some of you are here with 6 children, 8 children, 4 children. $40-50 million. You know, we have something extremely valuable. We have intrinsic value. They are eternal. If they are worth that much to us, shouldn't we put all our efforts and focus into these precious, valuable souls? Many of you are here. Maybe you have a lot of money. Maybe you have businesses. You have farms. You have many things. You know what? Those things are all going to go. And you're not going to take your farm along. The title will stay on planet Earth and be burned up. And no one, your car is going to be burned up. Your house, it will be burned up. But what about your children? I just want to encourage you this morning. Look at your value that you have at your fingertips. And God has placed them there, their eternal souls. That is what kept us homeschooling. We didn't just see the pain and the struggle and the discipline. We had all of that. And we know, I'm here to tell you that I know your feeling. You came here, some of you came here for encouragement. Just, I get so burned out. I get so tired. But mothers, fathers, you're raising something for God. God has placed them here. Here is someone that if you teach them right, train them right, line upon line, constant, you can win, bring them up to glorify God, to win souls and go to heaven. You know, we have in our hands the most precious, expensive treasure the world will ever see. The world is looking for treasures. Stock market goes up and down, and they're predicting a big crash coming just within weeks. But you know what? Values change, but the value of a soul that is placed in your care is eternal. And God wants that. I want to share. Let me ask you this question. Who do you want to manage and oversee the most valuable asset you have? You will never possess greater value. When we have a house that is, or we have a truck that we just bought, we take great care about making sure things are kept in their valued state. What about the children? Oh, we love our children. No one has designed. Let me just say this. There are few easy roads that lead you to where you want to go. Homeschooling is not an easy thing always. But follow a path that leads you to a life without regret. No one is designed to love your son and your daughter more than you as a father and a mother. No school teacher can love or hardly ever would love your daughter more than what you are designed to love that daughter or that son. And that daughter may just, that maybe is what she needs. You know, what is your vision and goal for your child? You know, that was a challenge for me when our children started growing up. What do I want for my child? What is my goal? Do I want popularity? Do I want my children to be popular? Do I want them to be attractive? Do I want them to be academically superior, athletic, wealthy? I don't know what your goal is, but every father here, and I think maybe you'll hear more about this, but every father and mother needs to sit down and decide a vision, a goal that is heaven-born. What God wants for that precious little $30 million child that's sitting beside you this morning. What a value. Or do you want a deep relationship with God for that child to have that, a godly character, a servant heart, missionaries, those that go across the world, kingdom builders. Fathers and mothers, what do we want? What do we want with our children? Oh, I know many of you are here because you have goals, you have a vision. You know, I decided, and I want to say this, that I think it is possible to have strong academic training in a homeschool setting. I think there's also, there can be deficiencies, but I want to say this, that I believe that if we follow God and we follow the vision that God gives, God is able to help us, even though we feel very deficient at times. If your goal is, and this was our goal, I wanted our children, I told, and maybe you would disagree with me, but I told our children, I want them to be able to take a GED test. That was my academic level that I felt would be sufficient. But our goal was to raise godly sons and daughters with godly character. And if the rest I cannot quite reach, if I could reach that, I felt that I'm reaching what God showed us as we fasted and prayed and God took us down a road of homeschool. We knew only one homeschool family in the whole county that we were in. And we had no pressure to homeschool except that we took it to the Lord and God showed us. You know, if you leave this world without much money, but you have godly sons and daughters standing around your coffin as you are laid to rest, you have given to God a most precious reward for His Calvary. Could that be a goal that we have? Might that be a vision that you have? Could that be God's vision? So, with that goal, that vision, we embarked on raising godly sons and daughters. But how do you do it? Line upon line. To train children, we need two important characteristics in a father and a mother. Number one, we need a father and a mother with conviction. And number two, we need a father and a mother that is consistent. The two points I want to look at here in my remaining time is conviction and consistency. I know there's a topic here that I hope I don't infringe on. Brother Luke, pardon me. I'll start the nail and I'll let you finish it. Conviction. Man does few things with conviction, but many things for other reasons. And often the reason homeschools don't work or their struggle is we do it without conviction. I have no choice. My husband wants me to. We can't afford any other way. The church has nothing else. They don't have a church school. Let me just encourage you. Do you have conviction for homeschooling? When we do things without conviction, we will be miserable. We need heaven-born conviction for what we do. There's many people in our Anabaptist circles that do a lot of things without conviction. And it's a miserable life. Find the Word of God. Go into the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. Seek God's heart. Find God's heart and follow God's heart. God will show us. God will show us. Conviction must be birthed in the father and the mother's heart. You know, conviction brings vision for the path to take. It brings stability as you go through this time with your family, line upon line. And a conviction plants vision that will motivate you. There's times when I came home and my wife was so tired because she had a sick daughter and a handicapped daughter, and she had three little boys and a daughter to train and to work while I was away trying to make a living. And I came home, and she was very tired. And fathers, let me just encourage you. You need to be sensitive to your wife. If your helpmeet is the one that does most of the teaching, and I'm not necessarily condoning that, we're a team. There's a father and there's a helpmeet. There's a leader and there's a helpmeet. God knew that, and that's why God gave that to us. But I came home a number of times, and I said, and my wife just, she was not a complainer, but she was stressed and things were difficult. And she came and we started talking, and I said, but honey, let's think about God. God told us to do this. This was our conviction. It brought us back on in line to what God wanted us to do. And I'm just encouraging you this morning, have your homeschool vision with conviction. God wants this, not because I can't, not because I don't have money, not because the church has nothing else. We must do it with conviction. Do we have conviction? Conviction is a convincing that comes by the Spirit of God in our heart to give our children a godly Christian education. Without conviction, a mother and a father will take the easy way, and it may not be God's way. And the result is double lines. Let me say, the message this morning is line upon line. Double lines will create a lot of struggles. God's designed for training children. I believe, this is my personal belief, but I'm open. I know that there's people that think different. Is that God wants the father and the mother to be the one that teaches and trains and loves and develops that precious $30 million asset that heaven has given to you, so that you will train, influence, direct, and bring that back home again someday. I believe that's our calling. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Speaking, let me go back and read verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. This was speaking to God's people. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let me look at another scripture. In Psalm 78, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And in Isaiah 38, it says, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us, gives us some more direction as fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We say, well, but that's spiritual teaching. Isn't CLE about spiritual teaching? About God-centered education, so that we bring God here. We bring God in with the ones, with the math and with everything else. And I appreciate that. In fact, let me say this. We used CLE a lot in our 14 years of homeschool. And I always appreciate it. I was just sitting with a CLE board a couple weeks ago and just appreciated again their vision of trying to help us. So I believe that this is God's way. Biblically, I feel it's our calling. You know, if we grudgingly teach, we teach a quality of character that will produce a result that will break our heart someday. I think we need to teach with joy and thank God that we have this opportunity in America. There's many countries that we could not do what we're doing. We probably wouldn't have this seminar in some countries. Children are in the most formative state of influence. You know, God designed homes with parents to influence, train, and teach them. I think one of the things that has caused negative views of educating our children at home, I think, is because schools have become babysitters. You know, in the 1800s, when the school system started in America, it started with the intention of the government influencing the children, the young generation, so to teach them so they can influence them in their way. And I thank God that there was a vision of our forefathers, of our parents, and years ago, that is really not who we want to train our children and to teach our children. And that's why we're here this morning. You know, we've developed a lifestyle that is not conducive to spend time with our children. And as a result, children are seen and often feel like they're in the way. There's mothers that love to send their children to school so that they could be babysat while they go shopping or while they do their coffee breaks and their tea parties. I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying this. Let's go back and see how do we handle the most valuable asset heaven has brought to us? And what should we do to honor God? Is there a word? Is there some truth that God wants us to know? You know, God designed the home with parents to teach and influence them for God. Strong homes will raise godly sons and daughters, strong Christian homes. I believe the reason we need to homeschool our children is that there is no institution stronger and more designed by God to form godly sons and daughters than the home. The church will help, the government won't. So if our goal is godly character, then I think we need conviction and do it with conviction. Find the heart of God. Stay at the feet of Jesus until God shows you and God gives you that passion and that burden. Oh, I think that's important. Let me go to this last point just briefly here, since you're going to be hearing more about this from one of the workshops. Is consistency. Consistent fathers and mothers in the home. You know, conviction brings consistency. Consistency produces a clear line. It's not a double line. It's always this way. Consistency. And clear lines gives the child security. And security settles the child. One of the reasons that I believe we struggle and we have rebellion at times with our children is because we do not have clear, defined, consistent lines, line upon line. This was the line yesterday, but today we have another line. So now we have two lines. There's a double line. But you know, this day, yesterday, I spanked him for this. I spanked her for that. I gave her some discipline. But you know, today, did you ever, fathers and mothers, do you ever get to the point where you don't feel like spanking anymore? Again, you mean I have to I remember spanking one of our sons 6 times, trying to get him to see. You might know what I'm talking about. But you know, there's times when we don't feel like disciplining again. And so, finally, there's another line for this child. It depends a little bit how mom feels or how dad feels. And so if I can hit it right, I have 2 lines. So the one line is don't do it. The other one is you can if it's the moment is right. I think what the Bible is teaching us, consistent living. And I believe this is a very important part of a Christian home that will raise and produce godly character, godly sons, and godly daughters. Where my son and my daughter know exactly where the line is, and they have only one line, it's clear, and that line brings security to that child. That child knows that this is it, this is how it is, this is right, this is right, this is right. But if this is right, and this is right, and they're both right, then how do we choose? And that's, I think, why the Word of God is clear that we need to live a consistent life. Inconsistency creates a double line and confuses the mind of a child. Consistent vision. Let me just share a couple points here yet in closing. We need a consistent vision. What is your vision? What is my vision? I think it's so important that we know where we're planning to go. When we started homeschooling, we had a goal. This is where we wanted to end up at. But you know, sometimes as we went through our time of getting there, it seemed like we were off track. It seemed like we couldn't hardly make it. But those are the times that we went down on our knees before God and we said, God, help me. God, I don't know how to train my children. I don't know how to teach my children. God, I need your help. And brothers and sisters, if your sons and your daughters turn out right, it's not for what you did. It's because of the grace of God that has been working in your heart and you as a father and as a mother and in the heart of your child that has brought that child through with a godly character, a vision, a burden, a longing for God. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, and I could tell you a number of stories. It's a beautiful thing to have your children grow up and one day come and they say, Daddy, one of my sons came to me. I think they all came to me. My 3 sons, our daughter went to the bathroom herself. She was so convicted and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And then she came out and said, Daddy, you know what I did? I said, no. He said, I just gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I became born again. And then she went out to mom and she said, Mom, what can I do for you? If any man be in Christ, a new creature, do something. She was standing there on a little stool, because she couldn't reach up quite, and washing the dishes. Before, there was coaxing to come wash the dishes. But when the heart changed, everything changed. That's a beautiful thing. But it's a wonderful thing that we can train our children. Our goal was to raise godly sons and daughters, sons that follow God, daughters that love God. That one son came to me over in Romania when I was over there. I was preaching that Sunday night and he came to me afterward and he said, Daddy, I want to talk to you tonight. And when he came, we went home to our apartment and the rest went to bed and I sat on the love seat with him and I said, Son, what is wrong? And he said, Daddy, I'm lost. Fathers, are you a highway for God? Are you developing a highway for God like we read in Isaiah? A highway. We need to develop a highway so that these children can find God. Are you building a highway for God? Is the highway leading where God can come in and ride into their heart and find them and they find Him? Or maybe we build highways for wealth. We build highways for their future so they can have a house themselves. Fathers and mothers, make a highway that brings God into their life. And I believe that's what we're doing. Consistent teaching, consistent discipline, line upon line. And here's why. I want to just very quickly tell you this, and I'll close. The reason that we need consistent teaching is because you are developing a conscience in your child. And a conscience is, let me give you a very quick crash course in a conscience. It's a part of man's spirit. Man is a body, soul, and spirit. In the spirit, which the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our spirit. And in our spirit is the conscience, the intuition, and communion with the spirit. With the spirit world. God is a spirit, the Bible says. Well, that conscience is a trainable alarm system. A conscience can be trained totally wrong. It can be trained right. But we as fathers and mothers are training consciences as we train our children. That's why it's important that our convictions is deep and clear and strong, so that as we train this conscience, we are now developing an alarm system. When you tell Johnny, don't go over the fence, you know what you're doing? You're setting a stake for that conscience. If Johnny goes over the fence, something goes wrong. The alarm goes off. We need to train our children's conscience close to the Word of God, so that when the Spirit speaks, when they become converted, there's not conflict between their conscience that is trained to be godly, to be holy, to live for God. Consistent training creates a conscience that is trained for God. Without consistency, that conscience says it's wrong, but now it's okay. It was wrong for the older ones, but it's okay for the younger ones. We get blamed for that sometimes. Consistency, line upon line. Train the conscience of your children so that the Holy Spirit can use that alarm system to flag when they start down the wrong path. May God bless you in your homeschool.